Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jovan, boo-ha! Boo-ha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Boo-ha, and welcome to another episode of Boo-ha's Block. On today's show, we are going to be diving into the Lakers offseason, the complete guide to LA's offseason, everything you need to know. We're going to break down the general overview, discuss key dates, LA's free agents, LA's trade assets, roster needs, potential targets in the free agent and trade market, various cap scenarios, moves that would trigger the first or second apron. It's impossible to cover every scenario and hypothetical, but I'm going to do my best to cover as many of them as possible. In terms of a general overview of LA's offseason, LA has two pathways to build their roster. They could operate as a team with cap space, which would require them rescinding the rights to several of their free agents, including LeBron James, Rui Hachimura, and Luke Kennard. In that scenario, which I will be diving into further, they could have upwards of about $47 to $49 million in cap space, depending on what they do with Nick Smith Jr., Bronny James, and the number 25 pick. There's also possibilities to get off some unwanted salary, whether that's DeAndre Ayton opting in and then the Lakers trading him, or getting off of Jake LaRavia, Jared Vanderbilt, Dalton Connect. So there's a lot of moving parts with LA's offseason, but the most straightforward path would be LA rescinding the rights to several of their free agents and creating upwards of $50 million in cap space. Now, that does not mean they would be moving on from LeBron James, Rui Hachimura, and or Luke Kennard. They could still retain all three of those guys with that $50 million in cap space. It just means that they want to explore the market, see what else is out there, and potentially make some additions, and then retain one or several of those guys with the remaining cap space. So that is one pathway. And with the cap space pathway, the Lakers can sign players in free agency, or they could trade for players and acquire them into their cap space. So those are the two pathways within that pathway. If the Lakers go the cap space path, they also have the $9.4 million room exception. So they could use up to $45 to $50 million in cap space to improve the roster, and then also sign a player, potentially one of their own players, be it Marcus Smart or Luke Kennard, with that $9.4 million room exception. And then there is the less likely pathway, which is the over the cap pathway, which would be more LA running it back, where you can retain LeBron, Rui, and Luke, go over the cap, use your bird rights on those guys, but then you would be operating as an above the cap team, you would only have the 15 and a half or so million dollar non-taxpayer mid-level exception to improve the roster. So you'd be running it back with LeBron and Rui and Luke and Marcus, although you might have to actually use part of that non-taxpayer MLE on Marcus, Austin, Jackson, etc. And you'd have that one tool and then a bunch of minimum contracts to fill out the rest of the roster. If the Lakers do go over the cap and re-sign several of these guys, they will not be able to trade those guys until December 15th or January 15th, depending on the contract structure and bird rights used. So the Lakers would largely be stuck with that roster for at least half of next season. And I think this is the path that fans at least want to see, just running it back, maybe making one addition or two, and then trying to make a trade at the trade deadline. I think it's far more likely that the Lakers operate as a team with cap space, even if it means retaining LeBron or Rui or Luke within that cap space. To say this offseason is monumental would be an understatement. I believe this is the biggest offseason for the Lakers since the 2019 offseason. The Lakers have somewhat been on two timelines here. They've been trying to compete in the present, though we could argue that they have not done the best job of going all in with this group, while also trying to balance the future. I think they're at a crossroads this summer where they need to pick, are we looking more short-term with this core, with Luka, LeBron, and Austin, and trying to maximize maybe a 1 to 2 year window with that group and then resetting in another year or two? Or are they trying to move to the next era of Lakers basketball and building around Luka, potentially building around Luka and Austin, and having some longer term pieces who fit around those guys? So the Lakers have a slew of tough decisions to make. Are they willing to put their two future tradable first round picks on the table? Are they willing to trade the 2026 pick? Are they trying to get in the Giannis sweepstakes? Are they trying to take a more patient approach? If they don't like their options this summer, will they sign a bunch of 1 year deals and try to roll over some of that cap space into next season, or try to make some moves at the 2027 trade deadline? How do they feel about LeBron and his fit with the group, and how much are they comfortable paying him? Austin Reeves, is he a number two? Is he a number three? What's the max that they are willing to pay him? Is it the max? Is it less than the max? What if another team makes a max offer to him? Rui Hachimura, how do they feel he fits with Luka? Is he a starter? Is he a bench player? Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard, Jackson Hayes, there's DeAndre Ayton. There's a bunch of questions here. And this is a massive summer for Rob Pelinka and the Lakers' new front office. We've already seen a ton of changes from the new ownership group. Mark Walter has come in and revamped the front office, is continuing to revamp the front office. This is a summer and an offseason of transformation for the Lakers, and there is a ton of pressure to nail it. The Lakers have an enormous challenge in front of them, and it's one that they're going to have to be incredibly creative and prudent to navigate. All right, so the key offseason dates that will determine LA's optionality this summer start with June 23rd and 24th with the 2026 NBA draft. The Lakers have the number 25 pick, but there is always a chance that they trade up in the draft or they acquire a second round pick. They could purchase a pick. And then there's also a chance that Giannis Antetokounmpo is traded during the draft, in which case the Lakers could potentially acquire him, or they could help facilitate the trade as the third or fourth team, potentially acquiring a player or a draft asset. On June 29th, there are several player options. Austin Reeves has a $14.9 million player option for the 2026-27 season that he will be rejecting. Marcus Smart has a $5.4 million player option for next season that I believe he will be declining as well. And then DeAndre Ayton has an $8.1 million player option for next season. I think he is going to opt in, but we shall see. It depends on the market, depends on how aggressively the Lakers are pursuing an upgrade. Only 1.2 of Bronny James' $2.3 million contract is guaranteed for next season. It becomes officially guaranteed on June 29th, so the Lakers have a decision to make there. They also have a decision to make on Nick Smith Jr., who has a $2.5 million team option for next season. And then June 30th is the deadline for LA to come to an extension with Rui Hachimura. So there is a possibility here that they reach some sort of extension before Rui hits free agency. That would impact their cap situation, their flexibility, but that is technically on the table. And then finally, there is no official date on this, but we will have a better sense of the market for several of LA's free agents, including most notably Austin Reeves and LeBron James. We should have a better sense of, is anyone going to be making a max offer for Austin? And where is LeBron's head at? Is he going to be playing next season? Is he going to be retiring? And if he's playing, does he want to return to the Lakers? Is he willing to take a pay cut? What would it take for him to consider a pay cut? So those are some variables without an official date, but they will have a considerable impact on LA's offseason strategy and how they approach building their roster. As far as the Lakers free agents, right now, LeBron James, Rui Hachimura, Luke Kennard, Jackson Hayes, and Maxi Kleba are their five official free agents. Again, Austin Reeves, Marcus Smart, and DeAndre Ayton each have player options. I think Austin and Marcus will be declining their player options, and then it's on DeAndre Ayton whether he's able to secure a better offer somewhere on the market.
Happy 250th birthday, America. I've decided to spend this semi-quincentennial as our founding fathers would have wanted me to, checking out the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I know I can find everything from ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats and stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage to best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging storage, and those signature Bobopedic seats. Because nothing is more American than a sofa that's a bed and a library and a closet. So, if you want to join me in decking out your house with the finest affordable furniture this 4th of July, why not stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But look at the Lakers' projected roster then going into the summer. They have Luka Doncic on the books at $49.5 million, Jared Vanderbilt at $12.4 million. I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be on the books. I think he's going to opt in. Then you have Jake LaRavia at $6 million, Dalton Connect at $4.2 million, the number 25 pick, which is an estimated $3.3 million. Nick Smith Jr. with his $2.5 million team option. I do expect the Lakers to decline that team option, but for now, he is on the books. Bronny James with his $2.3 million deal with only $1.2 million guaranteed, and then Adu Thiro at $2.2 million. So that would give the Lakers nine players heading into free agency, with them needing to add at least five more players to the roster. As for the Lakers' trade assets, they have up to three first-round picks they could trade. The number 25 pick in 2026, which they could agree to a trade the day of the draft or following the draft, and send that player to that. Like, you see it all the time with draft day trades where a team will draft on behalf of another team. So whether it's them getting in on the Giannis trade or a different trade, the Lakers can say, we are going to send this number 25 pick to this team and we will draft on their behalf. They also have 2031, 2032, and 2033 first round picks available to trade. But of note, if they trade the 2032 pick, they cannot trade 2031 or 2033. So the prudent thing would be to trade 2031 and or 2033 to keep that flexibility to trade the other one. So if the Lakers are trading one of their future first round picks, I think it would be either 2031 or 2033. It would make zero sense to trade 2032. They have up to five pick swaps in 2028, 2030, 2031, 2032, and or 2033. And of course, if they trade one of their future firsts, be it 2031 and or 2033, they cannot trade that in a pick swap as well. So if we're talking about maximum trade assets, it would be three first round picks and three pick swaps. So they could do something like putting the 2026 pick, agreeing to terms to trade that player 2031 and 2033, and then they could do pick swaps in 2028, 2030, and 2032. So that would be the Lakers all in offer, three first round picks, three pick swaps, And then they could throw in a second, as we'll touch on, and then some of their younger players. So they have one second round pick, which is the 2033 second round pick after the 2026 NBA draft. They will have access to that pick. They have some young players in Adu Firo, who has a team option in 2027-28. Dalton Connect also has a team option that season. Bronny has the partial guarantee for this season and a team option in 2027-28 as well. And then Nick Smith, who has the team option for next season. Then if the Lakers exercise that option, he'll be an expiring contract. They could do sign-in trades for Austin Reeves, LeBron James, Rui Hachimura, Marcus Smart, and Luke Kennard. Sending those guys out, the teams acquiring them would be hard capped at the first apron. So for example, sending LeBron to Cleveland, it gets really complicated because they're above the second apron. And so there's all these restrictions with Cleveland that they cannot just acquire LeBron James into that. They'd have to dump some money prior to that, and it gets pretty complicated. The Lakers have two veteran expiring contracts in Jake LaRavia and DeAndre Ayton. If Ayton opts in, they have Jared Vanderbilt's contract, which has 2 years and $25.7 million remaining. That is a negative asset that the Lakers would have to attach at least the second round pick. I think that's low. I think it would have to be probably a couple of pick swaps or a first round pick to get off of Vando. Now, maybe they do some sort of trade. One thing I've thrown out is if they really want to pursue Miles Turner, they could put Vando in the trade to get off of Vando, send him to Milwaukee and get back Miles Turner. And in that case, Turner has an extra year compared to Vando, and he's also making over double the amount of money as Vando. So Milwaukee would be getting off an extra year of salary and then saving half of that salary. It doesn't really make a difference for them, especially if they are trading Giannis. And then finally, the gift that keeps on giving, the Gabe Vincent, Luke Kennard trade. The Lakers have a $500,000 trade exception that they have until February to use from that trade. As far as offseason needs, the Lakers offseason needs are pretty similar to last season. They need a new starting center. They need an upgrade over DeAndre Ayton, ideally someone better on both sides of the ball, but certainly someone who is a better lob threat, who has better hands, who is tougher, more physical, and a better defender. The Lakers were the second worst rim protecting team in the NBA last season. They need a true defensive anchor, a true rim protector, and a long-term partner with Luka Doncic. And so they need a new starting center. They need a new starting two-way wing slash guard. I think they need someone to slot Marcus Smart in a bench role, more in that Alex Caruso mold, where he could be in high impact 20 to 25 minute a night guy off the bench, trying to keep him fresh and healthy for the entirety of the season. And the only way that is possible is if the Lakers add a better two-way perimeter player who can slot Marcus in that role. In general, they need more athleticism and defensive talent. That was a real weakness with this group last season. They need more long-term pieces. They have not added a long-term piece next to Luka Doncic over the last couple of seasons. You could argue maybe Adu Firo, depending on how he continues to develop. But outside of Adu, the Lakers do not have any players who project to be on the roster a few years from now. And that is something that they have to address this summer. And ideally it is the starting center and the new starting two-way wing. And then finally, I've talked about this ad nauseum over the last couple of years, but the Lakers have had one of the worst back-end roster situations in the league. Spots 10 to 15 have been underwhelming. It's been a combination of fringe NBA level players or guys on bloated contracts that should be making the minimum, guys like Jared Vanderbilt, Maxi Kleber, etc. So the Lakers need to address that and need to clean up their books to some degree, where they don't have several players who either just shouldn't be on the roster or are producing at 10 to 25% of the value of their contract. The Lakers have, this has been an issue for them, I would say, dating back to the 2021-22 season. Now let's get into the fun part, looking at potential free agent targets and potential trade targets. This is an unofficial list, but this is a list of potential free agent targets that I think range from unlikely to possible. And so we'll start at the top. Walker Kessler, Peyton Watson, Jalen Duren, Tari Eason. If I'm the Lakers, I sign any of these guys in a heartbeat. The issue is they're all restricted free agents. You could also throw Benedict Mathurin in there as well, though I am a bit lower on him than consensus. You have Ayo Dosunmu, Robert Williams, Mitchell Robinson, Kelly Oubre Jr., Quentin Grimes. Those are the top guys, in my opinion, the RFAs mixed with some of the top unrestricted free agents that fit with the Lakers' need for center upgrades or perimeter wing upgrades. Then you get into some of the wild cards or guys that are more bench level guys or back end roster guys. Kristaps Porzingis, Dean Wade, John Collins, Matisse Thybulle, Sandro Mamukelashvili, Jordan Goodwin, Spencer Jones, who I think is a sleeper free agent, RFA out of Denver. And with their cap situation, he might be someone who is available. Bruce Brown Jr., Tim Hardaway Jr., Gary Payton II, De'Anthony Melton, Gary Trent Jr., Ochai Agbaji, who is someone I've liked for a couple seasons. He's an RFA. Brooke Lopez, and then Jamal Kane, who the Magic have a team option on. And if they decline that, he would be a restricted free agent and is someone that I would be interested in. Most of these players are centers or wings. If it is a smaller player, it's a Jordan Goodwin or a Bruce Brown, a Gary Payton II, De'Anthony Melton, those type of defensive athletic guards.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
Then let's touch on trade targets. Several of these guys are pie in the sky options, but with LA having upwards of 3 first round picks, up to 5 pick swaps, a second round pick, and cap space to play with, I think some of these guys could be more attainable than it seems. We live in an apron world, as Rob Pelinka likes to say, and this could be a summer where some teams make difficult decisions with their cores and decide to break things up, especially if the Lakers are there to absorb the money and potentially compensate with a pick or a couple picks, depending on the player. So we start with the big fish of the offseason, Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll touch on him a bit later, but you also have Trey Murphy, Isaiah Hartenstein, who the Thunder have a team option on, Jared Allen, who could be a casualty if Cleveland decides to shake things up, Herb Jones, Andrew Wiggins, who has a player option. He could be a potential free agent. Jalen Suggs, who I think could be a casualty in Orlando if they shake things up. Nick Claxton, Wendell Carter, another potential casualty in Orlando. Daniel Gafford, just a question of if Dallas would be willing to trade with the Lakers. Lu Dort, who has a team option as well and could be a casualty of OKC. Miles Turner could be available just because of the Giannis situation and Milwaukee tearing it down. Isaiah Stewart, Max Strus, another potential cap casualty in Cleveland. Max Christie, similar thing to Daniel Gafford. Is Dallas willing to trade with the Lakers? And then Aaron Wiggins. I think there's a world in which OKC keeps both Isaiah Hartenstein and Lu Dort and makes Aaron Wiggins and Isaiah Joe available. Could potentially add Isaiah Joe to this list. I would take him over Luke Kennard, for example, but I think Aaron Wiggins is closer to what the Lakers need in terms of being closer to a two-way wing and someone who would factor into the rotation, be an upgrade over Jake LaRavia. So those are some of my favorite trade targets, ranging from realistic to unrealistic, but you could talk yourself into it. I think Giannis is going to cost the Lakers all 3 picks and all their pick swaps. Trey Murphy would probably cost the Lakers all 3 picks unless they're putting Austin Reeves on the table. Everybody else, I think, would be a range of a pick to maybe even a second round pick or a pick swap or something. So it really just depends on the context of the trade. But these are several of my favorite guys. Again, centers and wings. There is no small guard on here because I don't think the Lakers need another small guard or defensively challenged guard in the rotation. Quickly, I want to go over some cap rules before we go into different cap sheet scenarios. Remember that if the Lakers use any portion of their non-taxpayer mid-level exception, they will be hard capped at the first apron. If they acquire a player in a sign-in trade, they will also be hard capped at the first apron. And if they take back more than 100% matching salary in a trade, they will be hard capped at the first apron. In terms of the second apron, they will be hard capped if they use the taxpayer mid-level exception. If they aggregate players in a trade to match salary, which is pretty complicated, that will also trigger them being hard capped at the second apron. If they send out cash in a trade, they're hard capped at the second apron. If they send out a player in a sign-in trade and receive a contract back, they are hard capped at the second apron. Or if they send out a player in a sign-in trade and then use that trade exception, they are hard capped at the second apron. There are some more ways to be hard capped, but those are the basic ones that you need to know. Now for the fun stuff, let's start with some of the cap numbers. These are projections. We will not know the official numbers until June 30th, but the projected salary cap right now is $165 million. The projected luxury tax line is $201 million. The projected first apron is $209 million. And the projected second apron is $222 million. The Lakers will not be going over the second apron, so that's an unofficial official hard cap for them. We will talk through the different salary cap scenarios and if they'll be even approaching the luxury tax or first apron, but just wanted to open with that because this is going to be the foundation of everything we talk about. All right, so let's get into the Lakers cap sheet. So I mentioned it earlier, but in terms of players officially on the roster, if the Lakers were to rescind the rights of all their free agents and just go with the guys under contract, I have it as Luka, Jared Vanderbilt, DeAndre Ayton, Jake LaRavia, Dalton Knecht, the number 25 pick, Nick Smith Jr., Bronny James, Adu Thiro, and three empty roster charges. For every player you are under 12 players, you are charged an empty roster charge as a mini cap hold. So right now the estimate's about 1.36 million. So that Lakers would have nine players plus three empty roster charges, which puts them at about $94.5 million and about $70.5 million in cap space. But this is without including Austin Reeves, without including Jackson Hayes, and without including several of the guys I think they will be rescinding. In terms of cap holds, these are the Lakers' own free agents and what their cap holds are. I'm not including Maxi Kleba because I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Lakers will be rescinding his rights and he will be an unrestricted free agent. But LeBron's cap hold is nearly $60 million. Ruiz is 27 and Austin's is just under 21. Luke Kennard is 13.2, Marcus Smart's is 6.2, and Jackson Hayes's is 4.5. I think the Lakers are going to keep the cap holds of Austin and Jackson because with Austin, that is far lower than what his eventual contract is going to be. And with Jackson, that's in the range or maybe even a bit below what his next contract is going to be. So it makes more sense to keep those guys on those cap holds and keep the Lakers cap sheet lower than it would be if they re-signed those guys, whereas LeBron, Rui, and Luke Kennard are all making more money than they likely will be in free agency. So it doesn't really make sense to keep those guys on their cap holds. So Lakers have two options. They could either rescind the rights to those guys and those guys would become unrestricted free agents. It would open up cap space for the Lakers and they could still retain them, but they would be getting that salary off the books, or they can quickly re-sign them, especially if it's at a lower number. The Lakers have non-bird rights on Smart, so the most they could offer him starting out would be about $6.3 million, which is why if the Lakers retain Marcus Smart, the two pathways to doing so would either be using cap space on Marcus or one of their exceptions, either the room exception, the 9.4, if they use cap space, or part or all of the non-taxpayer mid-level exception if they go above the caps. I don't see them retaining his cap hold because it doesn't really make sense unless they're signing him at that 6.3, which I'd be shocked by if he rejects a $5.4 million player option to sign for 6.3. Like, yes, it's $1 million more, but Marcus should be worth double-digit millions on the open market. So I think the Lakers are going to rescind his rights as well. And so now looking at LA's cap sheet, they would have Luka, Austin on the cap hold, Vando, DeAndre Ayton, he opts in, Jake LaRavia, Jackson Hayes on his cap hold, Dalton Kincaid, the number 25 pick, Bronny James, a new Thero, and two empty roster charges. In this scenario, and I think what is going to happen is LA will decline the team option on Nick Smith Jr. I just don't think he fits with what they are trying to do. They could still always re-sign him to a minimum contract if they so choose, but in terms of having maximum flexibility with their cap situation, in this scenario, they'd have about $48.9 million in cap space to play with. And that could allow them to retain LeBron, retain Rui, retain Marcus, retain Luke, retain Nick Smith Jr. if they ultimately decide that. But I think it's important here to have maximum flexibility. So let's start off with what I think is the most realistic scenario right now, which is the Lakers keeping LeBron James at somewhere in that $20 to $25 million range, which I've talked about is more than what other teams could offer LeBron, but not max level, and a number that the Lakers can still make some additions to the roster. So if you look at this scenario, they have LeBron now at $25 million, and if they have everything the same, you get rid of one of the empty roster charges, you're now down to $26.6 million in terms of cap space.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Here's an example of with that $26 million in cap space, you could sign Peyton Watson to that. To me, that's a little bit low for Peyton Watson, but just for argument's sake, let's look at, so it would be Luka, Austin, Peyton, LeBron. We have Austin signing a $35 million deal, which not to get too into it, but Austin has been at that 20.9. Once the Lakers make their moves, use their cap space, they can sign him to a bigger deal, go over the cap. So this would be them going over the cap, adding Austin. And then they'd also have eventually a minimum salary, which the minimum salary could be more than this $2.45 million, but it is the minimum salary for a player with 2 years experience, which the NBA puts on your cap sheet. So you're not incentivized to sign younger minimum players. And it allows you to sign older minimum players, but their cap hit is lower than their actual contract. This is a potential way to just use that cap space, keep LeBron. They could also go a different route, which is they could split that remaining cap space with a couple players. In this scenario, they add Mitchell Robinson and Matisse Thybul. So you keep LeBron at that 25. You could also use the cap space to trade for a player. So here I have the Lakers acquiring Christian Brown from the Denver Nuggets. They retain Peyton Watson in this scenario. They need to dump Christian Brown. The Lakers could take on Christian Brown and not give up anything. And then they also sign Gary Payton II in this scenario. So they add some perimeter defense and athleticism. Questionable shooting here, but I think this team would be better defensively, but they don't really address the center position. And so another scenario would be trading for Miles Turner. But I'm just talking through like keeping LeBron plus doing another move. In all these scenarios, they're keeping Marcus Smart, but they are losing Rui Hachimura and Luke Kennard. Could also do a different version of this where you acquire Miles Turner via trade, and then you send out Jared Vanderbilt and Dalton Kincaid in the trade, whether that they're going to Milwaukee, or there's a 3-team trade, 4-team trade. Those guys are getting dispersed elsewhere. You would have to put in some draft capital, but you could say acquire Miles Turner and then also acquire Kelly Oubre Jr. to improve, you know, not the ideal two-way starter that the Lakers need, but you are getting better overall adding Miles Turner and Kelly Oubre to this group. That is the trade for a center, sign a wing version. You could do the inverse, which is trade for a wing and sign a center. So in this version, you, same thing, getting rid of Jake LaRavia, Delta Connect in a Christian Brown trade, and then you sign Robert Williams the third. The reason why Denver would potentially consider LaRavia and DK would just be those guys are both expirings, whereas Christian Brown has several more years left on his deal. I also want to look at the Lakers going above the cap and why it doesn't really make sense. So here's a scenario where the Lakers go above the cap to keep LeBron, keep Rui, and keep Luke Kennard. They use part of the non-taxpayer mid-level exception on Marcus Smart, sign him to a $10.5 million deal starting out. You have Austin and LeBron both making $35 million. Rui is at 18. You are essentially running it back with this group. To me, this version does not really make much sense. If we look at the roster without LeBron, again, the Lakers would have just under $49 million in cap space. This is what it looks like. In this scenario, I have the Lakers adding Walker Kessler and Matisse Thybulle and retaining Rui and Marcus. Now, I have DeAndre Ayton opting out because in this scenario, the Lakers have done their due diligence. They tell DeAndre Ayton, hey, we're going to sign Walker Kessler. He's going to be our starting center moving forward. You are going to be a backup with Jackson Hayes, and DeAndre Ayton opts out. So you lose LeBron James, DeAndre Ayton, and Luke Kennard, but you add Walker Kessler, Matisse Thybulle, the number 25 pick and a minimum guy, and you retain Rui and Marcus. Here's another version of that where you actually keep DeAndre Ayton because you're not adding the center, but you do add Peyton Watson and Robert Williams with your cap space. You also add in Matisse Thybulle. You retain Marcus Smart with the room exception, and you also have DeAndre Ayton. You do lose Rui in this scenario. You lose Luke and you lose LeBron. Another version of this, and this might be, to me, the most optimistic version of like the most optimistic yet realistic version of what LA could do if they lose LeBron, is you add Mitchell Robinson and Kelly Oubre and Matisse Thybulle with your cap space. You retain Rui Hachimura. You re-sign Marcus Smart with the room exception, and you trade for Herb Jones and Yves Misi. You trade out Vando. You trade out Dalton, and because you're adding a couple of centers, DeAndre Ayton opts out. You tell him, hey, you're not going to play on next year's group. You could make the $8 million as a third or fourth string center, but we're going in a different direction. We want Mitchell Robinson. We're trading for Misi, and their new center rotation would be Robinson, Misi, and Jackson Hayes. The starting group would be Luka, Austin, Herb Jones, Kelly Oubre, and Mitchell Robinson with Rui, Marcus, Matisse Thybulle, Jackson Hayes, and Misi as the primary 10. But you'd also have LaRavia in there. You'd have potentially a Duthiero in there. This to me is like a plausible outcome for LA where they use the cap space on Robinson, Oubre, and Thybulle. They retain Rui and Smart, and then they also go out and make a trade. They would be giving up in this scenario. I have it as a first round pick, a pick swap, and a second round pick to go get Herb Jones and Misi, and you're giving up Vando and Dalton. As aforementioned, with acquiring Christian Brown or Miles Turner, those are just a couple of examples of a wing or a center the Lakers could acquire. You could trade for Christian Brown into the cap space. In this case, the Lakers also signed Kelly Oubre Jr. and they are retaining DeAndre Ayton, but you could also trade for Miles Turner, sign Kelly Oubre, and keep it rolling that way. So those are some ways that it could play out if the Lakers do not have LeBron on the roster. Here's a version of if LA loses Austin Reeves, and let's just say Austin gets a bag from a suitor and the Lakers don't want to retain Austin. Here's what that would look like they can retain LeBron for a little bit more money. We have him making $30 million here instead of the 25. They sign Kelly Oubre. They sign Robert Williams III. They sign Matisse Thybulle. They also retain Marcus Smart. Basically, every scenario, I have the Lakers retaining Marcus Smart. Some of these, the Lakers will be trading guys out, whether it's Vando or Dalton or DA or whoever. I didn't want to do that with every cap sheet. I wanted to keep it more straightforward with their free agency pathways, but certainly, and some of the trade stuff with acquiring Christian Brown or Miles Turner, trading those guys into space. But I didn't want to overcomplicate it with the Lakers making several moves and then also trading for guys. So I wanted to kind of play through some of the free agent pathways and some of the trade pathways. And there's a couple instances in which I combine them, but I felt like it would be too intricate if I went into multiple moves with every cap sheet. So I just wanted to have more of an overarching view here. And then here's another version of this where the Lakers add Ayo Dosunmu, who I think would be a key target for them if they did lose Austin Reeves. So they're able to add Ayo and Robert Williams, as well as keep Marcus Smart. And so next year's starting group in that case would be Luka and Ayo as the guards, LeBron, Marcus, and Robert Williams as the front court. And then here's what it looks like with no LeBron or Austin. If they lose both of them, they would have about $69.9 million in cap space, which is a lot, but you're not replacing LeBron and Austin with just that salary. So this is what the Lakers cap situation would look like. I have it here, them going super aggressive and throwing bags at Walker Kessler and Peyton Watson to replace those guys. They also retain Marcus Smart and Luke Kennard. So they would go into next season with a starting group of Luka, Kessler, Watson, Smart, and maybe Kennard, or maybe someone that they sign with a minimum contract. Don't love that. And you could go Matisse Thybulle or something instead of Kennard, but I want Kennard because I think they would need a little bit more offensive firepower with no Austin and no LeBron. You could also say, hey, maybe they sign Ayo Dosunmu. I still think they would need a starting center and a true two-way wing. I don't think that changes even without Austin and without LeBron, but maybe in this case, they prioritize Ayo Dosunmu instead of Peyton Watson, and you go into next year with Doncic, Dosunmu, and Kessler, but that's just not good enough compared to the rest of the top of the West. And then finally, let's get to the fun scenario in which the Lakers potentially acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo. So that would likely result in LeBron not being on the roster, because at that point, there are two pathways to keeping LeBron: would either be the room exception of about $9.4 million or a vet minimum contract. So in this scenario, the Lakers keep Austin and they lose LeBron, but they have Giannis, Luka, Austin, Vando, Marcus, Jackson Hayes, and then a bunch of minimum salaries plus Bronny and Adu. So the trade in the scenario would be DeAndre Ayton, Jake LaRavia, three firsts and three pick swaps. That's the most the Lakers can trade from an asset perspective. You could also throw in second round pick there if you want, but that would be the Lakers' best offer. And Ayton and LaRavia are both expirings in this scenario. So from a Milwaukee side, you're just taking those guys on and they will be off the books after next season. So LA starting group would be some combination of Luka, Austin, Marcus, Giannis, and then either Jackson or a minimum level center, though it would probably be Jackson. And then if Austin Reeves is willing to agree to a sign and trade to Milwaukee, and I haven't done any other Austin Reeves sign and trade scenarios here, just because I am skeptical of him agreeing to something like that. Maybe there is a suitor that emerges that could fit him into their cap situation, but I think it is more likely that if he leaves, he just leaves in free agency, or maybe it's specifically a sign and trade scenario to one of the teams with cap space, and then the Lakers get some form of draft compensation or a cheaper player. Though again, remember that triggers a hard cap. So now it's Austin, DA, Jake, three firsts, three swaps. They could also take back Miles Turner and instead of, you know, and have him replace Austin functionally. And you could go into next year with, you also have a little bit of cap space left over. So you could sign Matisse Thybulle in this scenario. And so you have Giannis, Luka, Miles Turner, Marcus Smart, and Matisse Thybulle as your starting group. Not great. I mean, you see the Lakers run out of depth very quickly here and would have the one exception to add somebody, then a bunch of minimum salaries. If you don't want to add Miles Turner and you want to use cap space instead, you could use cap space on guys like Mitchell Robinson and Kelly Oubre. You could keep LeBron, also keep Marcus Smart. You could keep LeBron on the room exception. It would probably result in you losing Marcus, but this is what that looks like. So you would have Luka, Giannis, Austin, and LeBron with Vando and Jackson and a bunch of minimums, plus Bronny and Adu. Or you could keep Marcus. I think it would probably have to be for the room exception. I don't see him taking a minimum. And then LeBron would be on a minimum, which his minimum would technically be 3.6 million, not 2.5. But I don't see LeBron taking a minimum, at least to stay in LA. But this is the hypothetical of if LeBron were to take a minimum, you could still have Giannis, Luka, Austin, Marcus, and LeBron, plus Jackson and Vando, and then a bunch of minimum salaries. And I assume the Lakers would also try to get off of Vando in some sort of move, but although they'd be out of assets at that point. So wanted to talk through some of the Lakers cap sheet scenarios, and I'm sure plenty of other ones I did not cover that people will remind me of in the comments, but I tried to be as comprehensive as possible. Appreciate you guys. If you guys have any further questions, please drop them in the comment section on YouTube or on your podcast platform of choice. But that'll do it. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back on Tuesday. I will talk to you then.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.